Okay, that's Jimmy's reel six, and you're at Gavros. Gavros.
Well, at Gavros, and the Royal Engineers were this armoured bulldozer making this new battalion headquarters when a lot of shelling and mortar bombs and everything came over. And the CO was slightly wounded, Major Whiteside, or Captain, whatever he was at the time. And Sergeant Major of the REs, and I'm not sure whether it was one or two of the REs were killed. And also at that time, Lieutenant Day, who was a Canadian Canmore officer with the anti-tank platoon, him and another officer, who I think was Captain Wyatt, they got a direct mortar bomb in the slip trench with them, and they were killed.
Yeah. So there was a lot of mortaring and shelling at that stage, was there?
And down there at the same time, just behind us, there was a tank regiment, I think they were the Hampshire.
Okay. Was there much actual sign of German infantry around here, Jim?
Oh yes, you could see them down in Aggersham. What's the other place? Esquire, is it? You could see them from where we were down in Aggersham village and Esquire down there. Because we went down there when we moved to the gap. We went down because the word came round that they were pulling out, and so we sort of went down to sort of make sure they were pulling out or grab them,
To Eversley.
To Eversley.
Eversley. And what was the state of Eversley when you got to Eversley?
Oh, it was in heaven's state.
So signs of heavy fighting around there. So where are we now, Jim? What sort of time, what sort of date are we here?
Well, I would think we're roughly late July.
Late July, because
if I remember right, we went from Gavros over the hill and down to Eversley and Eskay and that. And then my next recollection is Boyabu.
Yeah, because the date of Boyabu is August the 12th, isn't it?
Yes.
So I guess you must have been moving down toward Boyabu. Can you recall much of that journey from that sort of area, that heavy area up there, down toward Boyabu?
A lot of it was through forest, through wood. We went down and we came. I know we spent some time, quite a bit of time, in this forest. Because we were waiting for. The thing was that, I don't know whether this is correct or not, but the story was that there were two or three different units that tried to get in Boyabu and they couldn't get in. It was finally decided that we had to. There was no reconnoitring or anything. We just went in.
So describe what you know of that then, Jim. The if you like, the battle of that village or town, Boyabu.
Well, There was no recognition, there was no maps, there was no thing that you could prepare before. And all the supporting weapons was left in the forest.
That would be support company.
Well, yeah, support company and what have you. Under the command of the second in command, Major Ozzy de Burgh.
Yeah.
And that day, what we used to do was, like I said, when I landed, I drove the Cardinal Lloyd that carried all the equipment, but we kept swapping around.
Yeah.
And also, you got different turns at who was first.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, I was driving number 6 gun, towing the gun, under Sergeant French.
Mm.
And we were number 1 gun, right behind the platoon commander.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Hardin.
Yeah.
And we just sat there waiting. And all of a sudden, he stood up, started up, follow me. And we set off. Well, the minute we set off, we were under mortar fire, standoff fire, and everything.
Had you left then the cover of the forest?
No.
Still in the forest. Yeah.
Well, it was just a mud track.
Yeah.
And we were still in the forest.
Yeah.
We was in the forest practically till we come to the point of there.
Okay.
And like with me being a Cardinal Lloyd, you couldn't sit down and look through visors. You had to sit up and look over the top.
Okay, so you're a bit vulnerable there.
And Sergeant French kept hitting me on top of the steel helmet.
Yeah.
Keep your head down.
Yeah.
And I said, Jack, do you want to go down this track or do you want to go in the ditch?
Yeah.
I said, I have to see where I'm going. Anyway, we were still carrying on, and like I said, mortar bombs and machine gun fire and everything were getting really busy. And we came to this cross track. Now, I didn't get the chance to see it in Boyabu. I'm hoping that when I go again in May, I'll be able to go and see.
Yeah.
We came to this cross track. Now, the platoon commander and his driver in a Brangham carrier had lowered the seats and they were looking through little slits.
Yes.
And they went straight across.
Mm.
Me, looking over the top of a Cardinal Lloyd, I could see an arrow, a battalion arrow, pointing to the right. And I could see where the other Brangham carriers of the companies and possibly a tank or two, I don't know, had gone.
Yeah.
So I pulled up.
Yeah.
I stopped. Well, me and Sergeant French had a right argy-bargy for about 5 minutes. And follow him. I said, hey, I'm gone. I said, the battalion's gone down here. I said, where's he going? Well, we kept arguing. And next minute, up this path from the right, came the platoon sergeant, Sergeant Bradbury.
on a motorbike. He said, what are you waiting here for? I said, airborne army and driver's gone down there. Oh, it's the hell, they've gone straight into them. He says, get down here and get into my elbow. He said, there's tanks wandering up and down.
Yeah.
So, with that, I turned right. And going down and then through numerous gardens between houses, and we came down the road, our lads were upright and Germans were up left.
Yeah.
And we got to the town hall. And the town hall was a Spandau nest.
Okay.
There were five or six Spandaus in it.
Tall building or low building or?
Well, it was a tallish building. Mm. Not what there is there now.
Yeah.
It was a tall building.
Mm.
And so with that, Sergeant French took me within about 20 yards of the town hall, spun round so the gun was straight at it.
Yeah.
And I went about another 15 or 20 yards, dropped the gun, all the crew piled off, got the gun in action, and I shot across the road. It was a shop and like an alley.
Mm.
And I put my carrier down there.
Your Cardinal Lloyd?
My Cardinal Lloyd,
yeah.
Down there. And me and the two ammunition carriers, Frank Brody and a lad called Siggy Swift, we got in this shop. And on the right of the town hall, I looked for this, but I couldn't find it. But of course, not the town hall, the old town hall there. On the right of the town hall was a wall with a door in it.
Mm.
And the Germans kept coming to this door and firing through and running past. But we were taking them on from this shop.
Yeah.
And
you were firing at these Germans, that's nice.
This doorway.
Mm.
And the gun crew, they put about five or six seven shots through the town hall. And that was it.
Mm.
Then we took a position up with the gun up the road where the Germans could come from.
Yeah.
And we stayed like in the shop. Like, and there was an old Frenchman came and he looked around. Oh, character, and it made me at the time, you know, them as were murdered over there, the Drummonds.
Yeah.
It made me, when I read that, I thought, he must look like that old bugger that come to me. And
yeah.
He come and he says, Tommy, come on. So I said to one of the lads, I says, come on, I said, I'm not good on my own. So we went with him. And he took us in a field and started digging a potato clump up. 10 gallon carboy full of raw calvados.
Oh, right.
You couldn't drink it. You licked it in the sparks, right? So, I saved this for Tommy. So away we take it. And we took it back. And one or two of us had a little sip of it, but it wasn't very Oh, it was Bolton, but not like that one we got while we were there.
Yeah.
It didn't have been that linked in anything.
Yeah.
And the next thing, a squadron of Royal Engineers came in half check armoured cars to clear a minefield. Well, as always happens when anybody like that comes up to the infantry, come on, you, what have you got to drink? What have you eat? What have you got to drink? You know. So we started lashing this calabash out in the enamel lugs. Next thing, oh, must have been 3 or 4 hours after, door opened, Lieutenant Colonel of the Royal Engineers. Have you seen any of my men? They were sent up here 3 or 4 hours ago to clear a minefield, but they haven't done it. They were all paralytic in the armoured cars.
But that the fighting in Wild Bow more or less finished, you said, when they put the solid shot through the town hall.
Yeah. Well, that's what that was what Colonel Setter said, at the dinner that we had. Was it the dinner? When he said an anti-tank gun, the Sergeant French.
Yeah, on the coach, there was a tape on the coach.
Shot the town all up, the Battle for Bayogo might have been a different.
Yeah. Do you remember seeing the tanks in the town?
There were. As we got in, they were disappearing down the road.
Yeah. So that was the finish of the battle, and you had this Calvados, and you were feeling quite happy at that stage, I suppose.
Yeah. And then the next thing that happened, I should think it must have been 10 or 11 o'clock at night. This is something that's always been on my mind ever since. The door opened, and it was a captain out of the Royal Artillery. And he came and he said, who's in command of this gun? So Sergeant French says, I am, sir. Oh, well, he said, I'm Captain Suchabody. I'm your new anti-tank platoon commander until you get one. And we said, why? Where's Lieutenant Armady? I said, he was killed today. And I've always had a dread or a fear ever since. If I'd have followed him, would he have been all right? Or would we have lost all the battalions of the tank?
He is the one that went straight on when you saw this red arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a carrier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what happened, see, in the regimental history, I can pull pieces. I can pull holes in it. It says in the regimental history that Lieutenant Harding reconnoitring a route into Boyalgo for his carrier, for his anti-tank guns, received a direct hit. They didn't. They went straight across this crossroads instead of turning right where the battalion had gone. And they went so far, the driver stopped. Kerry Harding stood up to have a look round what were going on. Block. He got it.
Yeah, but that you're only surmising that, are you?
No.
You know that?
I know that.
Okay.
Because the driver of the carrier came back.
He survived it.
He got away.
Right.
He got into a ditch or a dike or something, and he got away. He got a bullet through his nose, but he got away. and he rejoined us. So that is how I know that is the correct version. Incidentally, he was another Smith, but he joined us, I think he came from the
driver was.
Not Jimmy Smith.
No, the one that got injured was another Smith.
He got a bullet through his nose.
Yeah.
Now, he told us, like I say, I'm not surmising.
No.
He said that they pulled up and Kerry Harding stood up on the loop around what was going on, and he was shot with the forehead.
Through the head somewhere, you're saying.
And then he got out, managed to get away. And then he said, they set the carrier away with Kerry Harding in.
So you got this new...
We got this new captain.
Yeah.
From the...
Royal Artillery.
Royal Artillery. 71st Anti-Tank Regiment.
So that's Wild Bill. But what happened next then, Jim?
Well, from Wild Bill, we stayed there 2 or 3 days, I think. And then we went in again. And we set off from Lethal. Now, when we got into Lethal, we shut off the door of the Alp. But for some reason, we were stopped and sent back. And we got back in Left Arm, and there was about 3 battalions in Left Arm, and the road chaos.
Was. Is it a narrow road in Lethal?
Yeah, and it was swimming down the rain. The rain, the heavens was open. And to my recollection, we stayed overnight. And when we went in an attack again the morning after, on the way to Norham and Leap, the Germans were running in front of us. You could see them lying of them running. And we got into Norham Leap. I don't think there was any shots fired. I don't recollect that there was much action. And then Second D Company and Battalion HQ stayed in Norham. And A and B Company carried on to my act under Major Griffin. And it's only about half a mile. Now, Bob, a lot of people think that as we were going down that half mile, the Germans started blowing us off the road. They did. We got right the way down to the crossroads by the bridge. You know the bridge?
Yeah.
Where the river went underneath. We got to there. The first 3 vehicles, to my recollection, were 3 Sherman tanks. Then a big, a large armoured car belonging to the Recce Regiment. And then me. I was the first anti-tank. Now, when we got there, Major Griffin sent messages back. And he took the commander, not the tanks, but our battalion, the commander of every unit of our battalion had to go in on foot with the two rifle companies to come back when they were needed.
Yeah.
And I was sat in my carrier, and this major, now this is what I say, that it's different than in the regimental history.
Yeah.
This major, in command of the Recce Regiment's armoured car, he came and stood outside of me, talking to me through the side of the car. I said, want a cigarette, son? He said, yes, sir. Don't mind. Nothing had been made then. Nothing.
Yeah.
So, he gave me a cigarette. And we both lit up, having a puff. And,
He gave me
a cigarette and both lit up, having a puff. And by this time, Major Griffin had gone in with the two rifle companies and taken each commander of the supporting, you know, mortar carriers, Wrangling carriers, anti-tank guns with them. And just then, Spandau, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I said, hey, I said, they haven't gone away from here. They're waiting on us, you know. Because up to then, they'd been running.
Yeah.
The next minute, bang! And this bloody armoured car was ditched to the side of the road. Well, right away, the German tanks round and back. This major, oh, my driver, my crew, my driver, my crew. And then they started picking on every vehicle. So we all dived out and down to the river under the bridge.
Yeah.
And we got down into the river bank, and it's not there now, but behind where we were was a very tall wall.
Yeah.
And I was at one side with a few others, and at the other side, leaning against this tall wall, was right across from me, was Frank Boat Brody and Teddy Lemoyne. That was the lad that had gone with me in the carrier a fortnight after the rest.
Yeah.
And they started shelling and mortar bombing like hell. And they were landing right on that bridge, on that road. And they were landing on that road, and the shrapnel were going up, hitting the wall, and coming down into where we were. Because Teddy Lemoyne got a piece of shrapnel in his back, and Frank Brody, it hit him in the knee. Well, we started getting them out onto a carrier, and they had the Red Cross on it, but we were still firing at them.
Yeah.
And just then, the shells and the mortar bombs, all they were coming down like hailstones. And I saw Sergeant French coming down the road, counting on me. Jim, come on, Jim, come on, fetch that gun, fetch that gun. And I stood up and said, Jack, for God's sake, get down. Get down. And he couldn't hear me. And he got on the bridge as a full 7-4 mortar bombs landed on the bridge right in front of me. There was nothing that hit him below the knee and above the waist. And it slung him right over the road into the river at the other side.
Yeah.
Because we went under the culvert to get at him. And also, while that were going on, there was one of our lads, he'd only been with us a week or two, Joe Rutherford, he was called, a Scots lad. And most of these weasels
that were part